This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So it's a rifle send-off tonight for the soon-to-graduate seniors in football coach Kevin Wilson's program. A number of them fifth-year seniors who certainly laid the foundation pieces for the elevation of the sport on campus. A gaining of traction, if you will, within the tough Big Ten Conference, resulting in the Hoosiers' first bowl trip in 8 years. Last December in New York City at 6 wins, the most since 2007. 3 consecutive Old Oaken bucket now for a first time in 68 years. It's work ethic and dedication extended that want-to attitude that we've seen from the seniors over the years that certainly carried over into a spring practice this past few weeks. It's just a thank you tonight from the coach, his staff, and the Hoosier football family as Kevin Wilson, now fully engaged in Season 6, joins us tonight to celebrate the soon-to-be Hoosier alums. A little bit later, veteran Hoosier water polo coach Barry King, his 17th 20-win season in tow since he began the program in 1998 on board as the Hoosier women look to win this weekend the CWPA championship, tournament championship out in Boston, Massachusetts. That would place them in the NCAA tournament. It's all ahead tonight on Sports Talk. We are live from Yogi's here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Glascott, and all of our sponsors, including Yogi's Grill and Bar. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith. And, Coach, first of all, it's just thanks so much, first of all, for extending and making us part of your special night. It's been a special group of young men, soon, as I say, to receive their diplomas, and that's the bottom line.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. We had talked at the end about grabbing these guys here at the end to get together, and we're going to do a cookout or get together. And when you talk about doing the radio show, we had a few events with our leaders over here. There's always great food here, and the games on TV, the sport atmosphere. So it's kind of easy for the guys to get here. It's good to get this group together one more time. They'll have some post-graduation functions as they get together in reunions. But it's nice to feel. I got a few guys, Sudfeld's out of town, getting ready for the draft. I think Anthony Cassaro is up in New York City
for
a big-time job interview, he says. a couple of guys, I think Jordan Howard's with his family, and Darius Latham getting ready for the draft. But proud of these seniors, glad to hear, and it's really good to be in you and kind of wrap up our spring and moving into the 16 season.
Well, I tell you what, I've seen a couple of them. The sliders are going quick, but they have everything there. The wings, you know how your football team loves the wings, and no better place than Yogi's. You know, you step back, Coach, and reflect on what was this group of seniors. What was the common thread of this group as you've had a chance now to step back and reflect a bit?
Well, one, as they came in, I think we'd kind of established a little bit of the work ethic culture, where initially I think that was a little bit of maybe just different, and the buy-in maybe wasn't as good. I think they saw some guys buying. This was the first group, though, that I think that we had kind of all the way through, where our leaders were with us from day one. There wasn't a lot of doubt. I think they did the best job of any class of just trying to carry our message throughout the locker room, to the practice field, to the off season, to away from our team activities of how to try to live your life, how to do better, how to work, not only work hard but also become successful. They battled. We were more competitive this year. We're still quite short. We left some games on the field. We let some get away. We're going to keep growing and battling that. But these kids left a good standard, and like I say, proud of them, and a lot of respect for what they've done for us.
You know, I look back and just a quick glance at last year, and after that tough 2-overtime loss out at the stadium to Michigan, faced with a couple of road trips, you know, to have an opportunity to become bowl eligible. I'll never forget that from this group, because they had to go out to Maryland, and, of course, the bucket game was also on the road, and what do? For the first time since 1946, they go and win back-to-back road games, and you're in a bowl game for the first time in 8 years, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, there were several games where I thought we played really good teams, Joe, and they played really, really hard, and the other team played well, too. And we just came up a little bit short, didn't make a play, didn't make a score we needed to. Yeah, you know, no one's fault, no one group's fault, didn't make a stop, you name it, didn't coach good, got so close so many times. And you go to Maryland, and we gave up 2 cheap plays early and had a turnover, and it's 21-3.
Yeah.
And they really could have folded shop, But to stay together, battle, get hot on offense, play really good, and really play six, seven really good quarters at the end. Defense, the way we finished and played at Purdue, that was, again, testament because it was set up different but similar to our basketball team where there's some things set up where you think it might not go good. And for the kids to bow, these guys could have gave in, and they never did. And hopefully they'll be able to take that, not just the fact that they did a good job, they can take some of that in their life and be good dads, strong dads, good leaders, good parents, good husbands, great community leaders. So proud of these Hoosiers and proud of what they did for us. And a lot of life's lessons in the 15th season for our football team.
And they're still filing in here, and it's a solid group of young men. You know, we go back to December, even prior to the travel out to Yankee Stadium to play Duke in that bowl game, the Pinstripe Bowl. But you named six team captains, and All-American Dan Feeney and Jason Spriggs, a co-All-American over on the other side at tackle. Nick Mangieri and Zach Shaw, they're here tonight. Marcus Oliver and Nate Sudfeld. I mean, that tells you a little about the character you had from both sides of scrimmage.
And, you know, guys like Nate get a lot of credit because he's the quarterback and some stats. But to me, you know, Darius Rayner sitting around the corner, Zach Shaw sitting around the corner, Jake Reed, fifth-year center from Columbus North, Damon Graham, Michael Cooper over there are tied in. So many of those just rock-solid guys, Eric Toth, our punter. And not only that, you got some guys that were some behind-the-scenes walk-on guys that were maybe scout team guys, but for 4 or 5 years Chandler Miller's onside recovery at Purdue is from a walk-on guy that hung with us and stayed, made a huge play to secure that bucket win. So a lot of high-end players like Sudfeld or Spriggs, but a lot of great, great players that we're going to miss, and we're going to try to replace not just their talent. We've got to replace their leadership, Joe. That's a good group there.
Yeah, and Andre Booker, of course, you gave the Outstanding Walk-On Player of the Year award to that young man, which kind of typifies the group that you had, Kevin, that bided their time and did what needed to be done when called upon, and that's what makes it a TEAM.
It's a great group of scholarship players like Mangieri and Shaw or Sudfeld or Spriggs, but it's also a great group of walk-on guys. You know, we took 17 walk-ons to Purdue. You got guys like Andre Booker and Andrew Wilson over there. Yep. They were on scholarship last spring, but didn't have one available for them this fall. But to chip through and to be playing for us and playing so well, and Book scoring several touchdowns down the stretch, yep. Andrew Wilson playing so great at Purdue, all those guys are valuable, valuable members. And that's going to be a great class that in years to go that we'll bring back. There's going to be a lot of successful men sitting over there next to you, Joe.
You mentioned Anthony Cassaro up in New York at the job interview of a lifetime, so to speak. We wish him well, but I don't chuckle at that because I look over here and I see a group of young men that not only did it, Kevin, out on the football field, Sunday through Friday and then Saturday on game day. But here's a group of young men in the last 5 years, 111 of them, Kevin, earned academic All-Big Ten, and here they are in a week from this weekend going to grab that sheepskin, that diploma.
Yep, no doubt. You got several 3.4 and 5s and 3.7s, and like I say, with the way they've worked and battled and the athletic skills that they have, but the intelligence, they're set up to be pros. And not everybody's going to be an NFL first-round pro. There's some professional high-end guys that our school is going to take a lot of pride in. I know as a football family we are, but those guys are going to be great representatives of what we want in the athletic department, but what we want in Hoosier Nation. There's some great, great men there.
No question about it. And just getting started is more of the Hoosier football team rolling in here to Yogi's Grill and Bar. And we'll have time now to reflect on what has been this past spring. As I mentioned right at the top, there was that want it. And that attitude that we saw extend from this group of seniors, these foundation layers, if you will, back in 13. And now we'll see how it reflected on into the spring of 2016 with Kevin's sixth Indiana team getting ready for action on September the 1. Just getting started, head coach Kevin Wilson and the outstanding senior class of football Hoosiers joining us here. We'll continue along. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. A summery spring, April Day, the final Tuesday of the fourth month, and a night of celebration for the 20 football seniors of head coach Kevin Wilson joining us in conversation tonight. A little bit later, water polo head coach Barry King getting ready for the CWPA championships out in Boston, Mass. And by the way, I will make and we'll have an eye on the weather situation should it develop, WGCLradio.com. But I do want to point out that the two Battle of the Bypasses, the softball game and the baseball game tonight, at Andy Moore and out at the Bart Kauffman Stadium have been postponed. It's not raining right now, but a good judgment on the part of both the Bloomington South, the home team tonight in Indiana University. And we'll have that information relevant to a reschedule. But again, both of those games tonight have been postponed. Well, I tell you one thing, my ears still ringing from a great atmosphere on the spring game on that Friday night when you kind of hooked up and had a little concert. Even though the football field was modified, Kevin, it was the end to, a very tough spring that where you accomplished a lot incorporating Tom Allen, your new defensive coordinator, getting some things done defensively.
You know, it's the 15th practice there, and as you go through spring, you get a little thin, so we try to be smart with the workload we need. We got a lot of guys back. We got 17 starters. We got some quarterbacks got to get up to speed. Defense has got to learn and get up to speed, but we try to be smart with the amount of work. So, you know, having the concert deal, we're trying to just get a little bit more campus involvement with spring game. You know, you go to a lot of places. Ohio State's got 100,000. You look at what we do at Hoosier Hysteria, that all season or that lead-in thing's a big part of recruiting. It's a big part of the vibe of the program. I thought we had an awesome crowd. The fans that came were awesome.
Great
we did
concert.
A lot of things to tie those guys into it. It'd been nice for the Big Ten Network to pick it up, but they want to choose some other games. That's also a blessing, though, because our game doesn't get out there for as many of our opponents to scout. So, and for what it's worth, I thought it was a great day, a great environment. Appreciate the school, Little 500, all those things working together. And like I said, we had a good showing. I thought our quarterbacks played well. The defense came on strong. We didn't try to do a lot of fancy things, but I thought it was a good ending to what's been our most productive spring.
Well, no question. And we talked about Tom Allen, the new defensive coordinator, Keith Gaten in the strength room. You brought back and reunited with Mark Hagan, who was with you your first year, and over on the defensive side in the interior front. And boy, you could just go out there, Kevin, regardless if it was a practice, if you were outside or in Mellencamp, you could just feel that attitude, that enthusiasm from day one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think this time of year, so many coaches are always going to be, you know, with their confidence hat on, their encouragement hat, their positive side of things. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of things we got to get better at. We got a lot of guys back. Got more depth than we've ever had. We've got more playmakers than we've ever had. But at the same time, what I was encouraged back, not that we figured it out or had a great spring, the energy, the attitude, the effort every day was the best our football team's ever had. And you've seen us for a few years, I think, be a decent, hardworking team and practice very hard and practice tough. This team had the most consistent, best winter and spring practice habits. And that's so encouraging to me because I think you build on those habits and you fall back to them in games. We're going to need a great summer. We're going to need a great preseason. There's a lot of work to do, but you're just encouraged with the energy you got. You hear the energy of those seniors next door right now getting loud as they're enjoying those chicken wings. We've got to replace those guys, but with the spring we had, I think that's encouraging. It shows we got a chance to.
Well, and it gets right back, reverse right back to the senior class and the fact that they did. That they have laid that foundation of hard work and that have at it, that want to rise Indiana to its winning season and obviously more bowl games in the future.
No doubt we talk. I'm in the process right now, and it's great to have these guys together because when the season ends, we go out recruiting. And then we come back and we start working with spring ball. So it's good to get these guys back together to fellowship. But when I'm talking to our team right now and I'm having all these exit interviews with my players, what are you doing this summer? What's our plans and all that? To all those upperclassmen, I'm like, you're not going to have a good team when you have crappy veterans, when you have seniors. No matter what your role is, you're not positive, you're not encouraging, you're not having a right attitude. We had several spring players this spring, Joe, brought an unbelievable change of attitude in the way they approach coming to work every day. And that's a part of a winning environment. They got some good visuals here. We got to replace them. But the attitude and work hands down in Six Springs, best one we've had. And a lot of work to do, but that's something hard to coach. It's hard to coach that. And when those guys start bringing that and doing that, now you can really coach. Because now you can coach football and not coach effort and not coach attitude. When the kid is a self-starter and he brings the attitude, now you can coach the football side of things instead of the team side. And I just love the way our team is buying each other and buying into team camaraderie.
Well, and it opened up some doors, too, having the success and being in a bowl game for the first time in 8 years. When you did, you mentioned recruiting. Seemingly that never ends, but the period that you are allowed to get out on the road, that opened some doors and guys from across the state, and that's important right here, here in the state of Indiana, to get the premium players, and you're getting those. You're getting other states involved that want to come to Indiana and play for you.
We got a really good vibe. Still internally, we still struggle within our state. I think some guys with their families and upbringings say, oh, you know, where's Indiana at yet? I think when people watch us from afar on TV, they hadn't grown up watching us, there's a great vibe nationally when we go to Texas, Louisiana, we go to Florida. I don't think the football's better. We're working hard in-state, and we got to keep getting the great in-state players. But quite honestly, sometimes in-state recruiting is harder for me than out-of-state, because the out-of-state kid says it's a great school and it's Big Ten football. Coach, we see what you're doing. We still got to get over the hump and win more. I think the more we win, I'm very appreciative that our administration gave us a chance with a contract extension to keep building, because I think that's a little bit of the last year or two not recruiting as well. There was some doubt. Are we going to get it done? We haven't gotten it done yet. We're getting better. We're on track. We're knocking on the door. We need to tip it over, but hopefully with a little bit of stability, we can even recruit stronger in-state. That's one of our goals. We'll see if we can. We're working it hard. We've worked it hard every year, Joe. When you're state school, you start in-state.
Yeah.
I'd love to do a little bit better than we're doing. We're going to see. We're in some battles right now, and we'll be in some battles all the way to that first weekend or Wednesday in February, but we're going to work hard in-state and across the nation to bring in more good players.
Well, you love the battles, no question, and, you know, it's an offense, and I love this stat, and I talk about it and have talked about it and did talk about it even the week of the bowl game. I mean, a team that led the Big Ten in total offense and scoring and passing offense, my golly, that hadn't been accomplished the first time since Ohio State did it in 1995, and here's Indiana U with its offense. Yeah, you know, those kids that look at it from afar, in-state kids can see the highlights, but those kids see points on the board, they see good crowds, they see a solid offensive line, they see the depth improving, and their chance to play and make an impact.
We got some guys got a chance to be drafted next week coming up. They like our colors and uniforms and the things we do, which I still think has a quality of the style of what we want IU to show, but we do brand ourselves well with our uniforms, and we get a lot of good notoriety from that. You know, I like the fact of all the stats that we were still second in the conference in rushing. And the greatest stat to me is, like, we scored points and all that, and we had yards, but we had the fewest turnovers and the fewest sacks. If you got the most plays and you got the most points, but you got the fewest turnovers and fewest sacks, that's good football. That means you're scoring. That means you're wide open. But it also means you're really, really sound. So that we had 161 more plays in Ohio State for the year.
Yeah.
Yet we have fewer sacks, fewer turnovers. So it's nice to have the points. It's nice to have the yards. But it's nice to play smart, clean football. And that's a credit to the players and coaches.
And I know Coach Allen, those are two stats that Coach Allen is got a, one and 1A. You know, we saw some of that that turnover, that or as he calls it, takeaways.
You better do push-ups here, Joe. You better watch it now.
You know, it's give and take. And we want more takes. And we've seen that word solidify itself into the terminology defensively, Kevin. But we saw a lot of those in the spring.
Hopefully it solidifies into the culture. And it's one thing to do it in spring game, and sometimes it gets yourself. Is that a concern for your offense? We've been pretty good taking care of the ball. So that's encouraging to see our defense. I don't think we've gotten sloppy. I know as coaches offensively how we coach it. So I think our defense, because I will say this, the Big Ten's a hard conference to get turnovers in because it's a very fundamental league. It's a very conservative league. People don't take as many chances. So that being said, a lot of teams in the Big Ten are good taking care of the ball. Our team's got to be good at getting the ball off of teams that are good, being sloppy with it. So it was encouraging. I don't think our team's regressed offensively. It was good to see our, but again, practice is one thing, proof in the pudding. let's have a great summer. Let's have a great preseason. Let's be a better football team next fall.
Well, you talked about that rushing stat, and that was key. And obviously, you know, Jordan Howard had a lot to do with it. But, boy, you got a guy back that had a heck of a spring. I talked to him afterwards, just a super young man. Came on late in the season, got his reps, got his yards, Devine Redding. And what a spring he had. What a kid. He winds up for over 1,000 yards in 2015.
2,000-yard running backs, and you lead the league in passing. So that's good. That goes to credit that offensive line and those coaches. Again, it's a well-rounded group, the tight end group. I'm telling you, Michael Cooper, Anthony Cassaro, those guys graduating will be as big as miss as anybody. Those tight ends were huge in what the offense did. But, again, going forward, you got to play as a group. You got to play with balance. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys. It's not just Devine. He'll be a solid player. But with Alex Rodriguez, Ricky Brookins, we like Mike Majette. We moved Devontae Williams back over. Cameon Patrick is playing running back. The only injury of note, we'll see if we can get him back. He'll miss some of the early preseason. We'll see what his timeline is. And we're bringing in Cole Guest and Keontae Ennis, I think two freshmen that are maybe the most skilled guys we've got. So we're going to have 5, 6, 7 backs that can play, and you need those type of bodies in the Big Ten.
Well, you talk about an asset being the depth improved over these years, Kevin, as we glance at the total picture, and right there. I mean, you know, Dan is coming back to give you a lot of things. Thank goodness he's coming back. But that being said, we lost, Jake snapping the ball. But the depth, from a depth standpoint, what competition has evolved there among the O-line?
We got 4 5th-year seniors with Jacob Bailey, Wes Rogers, Demetri Camille, and Dan Feeney, our best player on the football team. And then you go to that next class with Delroy, Timmy Gardner, some really good. Brandon Knight's going to be a great young freshman. We signed Coy Crunk and Mackenzie Noir and Grayson Stover. Greg Fry's recruiting good bodies. But, again, let's go back to – you lose Jordan Howard, who's maybe playing as good as any running back in the league, and your running back goes for 1,000 yards and 200 in the bowl game, 100-plus against Purdue. The way Devine played the last three games is one of the reasons your team was a bowl game, had a chance to win the bowl game, because you're replacing a kid that's got a chance to be a pretty good draft pick, a kid that's got a chance to be a pretty good pro. A lot of times a pro like ours loses that guy, you can't overcome it. We overcame it and still played good football. And I think we're getting the total team that way, where you can lose Jason Spriggs, but Brandon Knight's going to be a great football player. And it's sorry to see Jason go. I think he's going to get drafted higher in a couple days. But with him leaving, you need the next guy stepping in. As we built the program, we're not there yet. We're just so much farther where there's just better kids, better bodies, and it's fun to coach these guys.
Yeah, and Knight even getting his touchdown last year at tight end, and now he's going to be a forceful force along the interior front offensively. Any concerns, everybody steps in. Nate's gone, and one of the most decorated quarterbacks that's ever taken the snap at QB down through the years and decades. But how do you picture the quarterback situation going into preseason in the fall?
You know, Xander Diamant was injured and missed here the spring ball. It was a minor injury. He's kind of full go now. He needs to have a great summer, can make some plays, competitive spirit, a lot of moxie, good leadership. Danny Cameron and Richard Lego, the junior college transfer, and Danny, our most experienced guy, with Austin King, a freshman. Those three got the bulk of the work. Really, with seasoning, the freshman Austin's really good, but just a little mature.
Yeah.
Right now, those other guys are maybe a little farther along. They all need good summers. We're not where we need to be. We got to be better players without putting on pads. We got to throw balls without playing team. We can watch video, but they need strong summers. That quarterback's going to have to play very, very well. The defense needs to continue to gain confidence. Our depth needs to continue to improve. And really, I think our depth at D-line, we're going to need several running backs like I talked about. We're going to need several defensive linemen, and we need that D-line. It had a very, very good spring. I would tell you this spring the defensive line got the better of our offensive line, and that's encouraging because I think our line on offense is good. So I was very pleased with the spring up front defensively, but we're going to need depth. We're going to need bodies, and we need to see how those kids come along for us.
And you'll see the bodies in the Memorial Stadium. And I tell you what, those tickets for next year are on sale. All you have to do is just go to iuhoosiers.com, and they got everything. You can devise your own ticket package. There are 7 home games, and it all starts with Ball State on the 10th. Then Wake Forest comes in. Nebraska is here. And then, of course, Purdue and also looking at Michigan State. That'll be the Big Ten opener. Maryland's coming in. Penn State's coming in.
You've got five Big Ten games. Yeah. You've got Wake Forest, Ball State, in-state guy. You've got Wake Forest, the Power Five.
Yep.
And then, so basically, it's three in a row. Our first game is on the road at Florida International, Labor Day weekend on Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Doing that to get a little bit extra time there. Ball State, the home opener. Then an open date, then Wake Forest. And here comes Michigan State. Let's go to Ohio State.
Yep.
Back for Nebraska, up to a good Northwestern team. Back for, Maryland.
Then out to Rutgers.
Out to Rutgers, back for Penn State, up to Michigan. Back. It's a good schedule. Five Big Ten games. It's going to be an exciting team. Need a great summer. I hope our fans get behind this team, and we do the things that will deserve some great fans following us. Hopefully we'll have another great year.
Well, I'll let you go talk, but I do have to ask you about the new turf.
That's got to be exciting.
I'm just looking at the picture.
This is more detail than I've seen. New synthetic turf.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that began a couple of weeks ago. I like the huge Indiana with the IU in the middle and the Big Ten.
I don't know if this field, we're doing like a little thing. I think this, I don't know if this is copyright or printed right, but there's, we're going back and forth. I think this middle section might both be, we're doing the light green, dark green to kind of shade. I think they're both supposed to be light around the state logo.
Okay.
So, but it's a little bit, it's going to be a clean look. And as soon as we finish this season as well, we will also start the end zone project will begin immediately after the Purdue game, which is going to be a nice add, not just for our football family, but for all our sports with an excellence academy, a wellness center, a medical complex, and a brand new nutrition center, which will be awesome for all sports.
Yep, and that'll be the point exclamation point as the Hoosiers get ready to embark upon another campaign of success under Kevin Wilson. As always, my friend, thanks for dropping in. And again, thanks for allowing us to be part of your celebration with your senior class, Kevin. And we, as always, we'll look forward to talking to you before we pack it up and go down to Miami to play Florida International September, my friend.
Always good to be with you, Joe. Appreciate it. And again, proud of those men over there. Thanks so much.
I am too. Kevin Wilson joining us and a great group of senior young men. And as I say, they will, this is what the highlight of a student athlete is all about. The young men, an opportunity to play in a bowl game for the first time in 8 years, but to next weekend will be receiving their diplomas as outstanding student athletes under Coach Kevin Wilson. When we come back, we'll take a little peek at water polo with Barry King. A big, big tournament coming up. The CWPA on the line, and there's more on the line than just beating Brown et al. and hopefully Michigan. The NCAA automatic bid is up for grabs. We'll talk water polo with Barry King. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk continuing, and our thanks to Kevin Wilson, his outstanding senior class. We wish them well at graduation a week from this weekend. 20-plus outstanding men who will go on, and especially a few of them are All-American outstanding linemen, offensive tackle, Jason Spriggs of note, and maybe a few others. Who knows? Barry King joining us right now, and what a delightful time that we spent, Barry, last weekend here on the show with two of your outstanding seniors, and programs are built around seniors, and Mary Campbell and Candace Schroeder joining us for conversation, and it was a kind of an off week from competition, but enjoyed ourselves, and the girls are on a run at the right time of year, and this is where the rubber meets the road this weekend, the CWP championships out in Boston.
Yeah, we have been getting better throughout the year. You know, had a little bit of a rough start, and got better and better in terms of figuring out how to play with each other. And we're playing our best water polo right now, so we're excited to get to work.
Well, you play Brown, of course. You earned the number two seed. Let's go back, and it was a heck of a match. It gave you exposure on the Big Ten Network. The only bad thing, he didn't win it against Michigan, but that was in early April. Just talk a little about that Michigan match, and it's really developed into a heck of a rivalry between you and the Maize and Blue.
Yeah, it's been going as long as I've been here, that's for sure. We had a really disastrous third quarter. We just didn't take care of the ball very well. I thought we did a pretty good job in terms of playing to our strengths the rest of the time. We scored natural goals. We drew some exclusions and stuff. We just had a really bad kind of 4.5 right. minute period in there where we let it get away from us. And you know, we talk a lot about trying to eliminate the two-goal swing scenarios. And we had two different ones in that game that I think would have changed the nature of the contest. And you know, one was early when we had a chance to go up by two, but instead they come down and score and tie it up. And then late when we're trying to make a push back, we have a chance to get inside of one, get back to only being down one, and then we end up missing that shot, and they immediately come down and go back up by three. So I like, again, we've been getting better since that time also. We know what we have to do to beat them, and looking forward to the opportunity if we get it on Sunday.
Well, no question. And, again, it's Brown opening up things out in Boston, Mass. This weekend. But, oh, you can't hear? Okay. I turned you down, didn't I? I'll get to know these knobs here one of these days. Hey, you know, we talk a little about that match, and then that kind of set the table. Knew what you needed to do. Obviously, you wanted the two seed. You had to win out, and you did. And just talk about that stretch. You've had, and you and I had talked earlier, Barry, about your squad. You go back to that triple overtime loss against UC San Diego in the middle of March. You won 12-13. Now you've won 18-20, and this is, I say, is the best stretch, because this was all against CWPA competition.
Well, you know, again, if you go all the way back to in January, we're a group that had graduated over 700 starts in the last 2 years. And coming into this season, we had a little over 100 starts amongst the first seven, and those were in two players. They were Candace and Mary. So while we had very good players, you know, they needed to get familiar with each other, and so every time we get in the water to play a game, that's seven more starts for us. So we're at a place now where, they know each other. They know what they want to do in terms of making their teammates better. And the whole year was designed for us to be playing as well as we could at this time of the year, and I think we're doing that.
You know, last year we were talking a little about Kelly Matthews. She, in fact, was the conference's rookie of the year, and for good reason. And now all she has done is she takes her wares out to Boston this weekend. 116 total points, 69 goals, and 47 assists, and really has taken a little of pressure off of Candace. Actually, it's made Candace, from her center spot, appears more flexible to do some things, and what a 1-2 punch you got rolling.
We're really good when they're on the same side of the pool, and teams have to make decisions as to what they want to do, and in terms of taking those two away, offensively, and that opens the other side of the pool up for a lot of other people. But Kelly, I've been so pleased with her, the consistency of her output, and she we talk a lot about doing things that make your teammates better, and I think this year with that extra year under her belt in terms of familiarity with her teammates, she's really, really facilitated everybody's level in terms of higher performance.
Well, 129 goals between those two women, and we're talking about Kelly Matthews and Candace Schroeder, but the flexibility and the ability to recruit young ladies from high school you've gone to Canada, you've gone out to your native California to bring them in here. But I'm counting six other girls that have booted home and splashed through the nets. Five more have scored 26 plus goals. That's pretty doggone good.
And that's really a you know, Kelly and Candace being that much of a load for opposing defenses, where now Sarah Myers, who I couldn't get to shoot the ball last year,
right,
has 26. Kerry Kozakar, who throws the ball harder than anybody I've ever had, probably has 32 or 33, something like that. You know, Kate Pipkin is starting to come into her own. She's been, I think she leads in assists, but she's coming into her own in terms of scoring the ball. And that's all because of how much pressure Candace and Kelly have been willing to accept.
Well, and you talk about that little, when you went out to Princeton a couple of weeks ago and were faced with those four games and won them all. Here's Candace scoring a career 7 goals in one game. But, you know, too, I look at the stat. I mean, both Candace and Kelly had 11 goals each, but we had the women that you just talked about. But, too, at the other end, you know, Sarah Myers and Pipkin combined for 20 of your 44 assists during the course. So they're getting the ball where it needs to go in your offensive attack.
Right. And that again, that's just a measure of how much more comfortable they are with each other than in January. You know, it's just it's a matter of experience, and they've really grown together and grown well.
Well, a young lady, as I say, we had Candace Schroeder and Mary Campbell, your veteran goalie, and at that point in time, she was leading the nation in saves. Talk a little about how she. And what an engaging young lady she is. Had a lot of nice things to say about you, Barry, and so did Candace. But she enjoys playing the game, and she enjoys denying the ball to get past her. That's a pretty good job.
That's an important trait in a goalkeeper.
Yes, it is.
So, I've been really happy with Mary's approach this year. Her fitness level improved drastically this year, which led to an increased kind of attentiveness. I mean, even her, she's really kind of struggled in the past with her outlet passing, and that got better this year, you know. So for your senior anything, to have the desire to improve instead of just like, hey, this is my last year and I'll get by with what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
That was important for us, in terms of our mentality of the team, you know, where, hey, you know, the 18-year-olds on this team is watching this young lady, you know, desire to be better and go through the things that it took to get better and improve some things that we needed her to improve on. That's been important for us.
Well, and she credited a lot to Jess Goudreau, you know, who's being redshirted because she's a Canadian, because she made the national team, right?
Correct.
And she's coming back next
she
year
is.
For you.
Yeah, we get 2 years of her.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mary gave a lot of credit, you know, stepping in the background, looking how hard, she went about doing her trade and learned a lot from her by just watching and training. With that work ethic,
yeah, that's a double-edged sword because you know Mary didn't get rewarded a whole lot for that in her first couple years, but she was ready to go when she was going to be the full-time person, and I think she's actually taken it to a different level, this year she's. They've been very, very consistent for us, and I think we've allowed her to face a few too many shots. A little kind of disappointed in our field blocking, which is normally a pretty good strength for us, but for the most part, she's been rock solid for us.
Barry King joining us. That 17 20-win seasons, 20-plus seasons, 21-6 they are. The IU women's water polo team headed out to Boston, Mass. To take on the seventh seed in the CWPA championships, Brown. And look no further than that. Certainly not going to put the cart in front of the horse, but as you suggest, we would all certainly like to see, and hopefully we'll see, a Indiana win against Michigan. But before we talk about, again, keys And there were some breakdowns, you said, in a relatively tough match that you lost to them in April here. But talk about this past week. You came back, you played all those matches at Princeton, won them all, came back, had a week off. It's not like you put your feet up on your desk. What you concentrate on in practice, getting ready for the trip, tomorrow?
We're just trying to, maintain our fitness level. We've been paying attention to that, paying attention to, some ball handling skill stuff, just maintain our familiarity with the ball. We're working more on our set pieces and our power play. I think if you can find a goal or two in amongst the probably 8 or 9 chances that you get with your set pieces, if you can find a goal or two there, then you're ahead of the curve. And then also, in power play, the more efficient you are in power play, the better we're going to be. And we've been running right at about 40%, yeah, which is pretty good. We need to, if we can push into the 55 to 60% area, then I think we're going to be pretty solid. This week, tomorrow we'll work on our power play defense. Because we'd like to see us, we've been running at about 22% for that, and I'd like to see us get under 20 if we could for the weekend, and that will be pretty good.
Barry, back to our conversation with the women last week, they remember obviously a couple of matches, the one disheartening loss to Princeton in last year's championship game that you denied you a chance to go to the to win the conference tournament and to go to the NCAA. But the girls also remembered their sophomore years when you were in the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
And being on that stage. And what a great week. And, they've been doing it, I know, all season long with their leadership. But what a great example to have, too, that's been there, done that, so to speak, and to, tell the other girls what it's all about and what a CWPA championship is all about.
Correct. They're essentially the only two left that played in that tournament. So.
And Mary didn't play much, but she got some minutes against,
yes,
Stanford.
Correct. And so the experience of preparing for that and getting the special swag and playing in front of a larger crowd than typical and stuff like that. That's all very special stuff, and to have people who can still communicate that to the younger group. Kelly and Sarah have played on pretty high level stuff. They've played, yeah, in the gold medal match of a world championship, so they understand that kind of level. It's funny though, even though they've played in the gold medal match of a world championship, they were the first ones to agree when I say, this, our conference championship is unlike any tournament that anybody plays in, because a team that you beat by 14 or 15 earlier in the year completely comes out blazing, and it's, from top to bottom, it's the most competitive tournament that these people will ever play in. And the idea of being able to communicate, what kind of effort and spirit you need to bring for these tournaments is very important for us.
Yeah, that's what you get in a one and done. This is not a double elimination set tournament. You respect all and fear none.
Right.
But, let's hope that come Sunday you have an opportunity to turn the tables with the stakes gigantically high. A lot more so than back in that first Saturday, that first weekend of April. What's it going to take to, and no disrespect to the others, but we're talking Indiana, Michigan, let's face it, those are the 1 and 2 seeds. Tell me what it's going to take to win the championship and get into another NCAA tournament.
Well, if we're fortunate enough to be there on Sunday, we have to protect the ball. We have to kind of turn that game into a half court grinder. you know, their strength is in the middle of the pool and the counterattack, and the more that we can kind of limit it to half, you know, the half court offense, half court defense, the better it is for us. You know, but we're gonna have stiff challenges to get there too. So, you know, we just, I hate to be a cliche, but you know, we really just need to take care of our business on a daily basis. I think this group understands that, you know, and this is where I have to kind of credit, I got to really credit Candace and Mary, a couple other people who've been to this tournament. They understand that, you know, even on my itinerary, it's like, you know, the Saturday and Sunday are blank, you know, it's like wake up and have breakfast at this time.
Right.
And then after that, it's blank because, you know, I just don't want to tempt the fate of, saying, you know, we're looking forward to that game at 1:30 on Sunday. We got to get there first.
No question. And experiencing, again, going back to Candace and the Mary Campbell, Candace Schroeder, they've experienced both ends. The low of losing a championship, fresh in their mind still from last year, and a high as young girls, sophomores, playing in on the big stage and what it means to be in the NCAA tournament of CWPA. Champions. My friend, always great seeing you. And the girl, I got them excited. They're going to come back in. We'll have a little wing ding here like the football team. When you get ready to win this doggone thing, bring them in, and we'll have a little feast and get ready for the NCAA championships. How's that?
I look forward to the possibility of that.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
If we're fortunate. I love that word. I mean, we got to be, you know, realistic, and I understand where you're coming from, BK. Barry King joining us. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Now, mentioning Yogi's, May the 8th. Don't forget that, guys. Mother's Day. And girls. Brunch buffet right here from 10 until 3. Well, our thanks again to Barry King, and the best of luck in Boston, Massachusetts this weekend. Bring home that CWPA championship and get in the NCAA tournament. To Kevin Wilson, his football family, his outstanding seniors, thanks for a night to remember for them, and the best of luck in next weekend when they receive that diploma. Again, the battle of the bypasses, both softball and baseball, have been postponed due to weather situation. We'll give you the reschedule when we hear. Indiana's playing up at the Victory Field against Notre Dame tonight. They'll be back home against Xavier tomorrow night at 6:05. Reds are coming up on the radio. Finnegan against Cologne, IATZ. Dave and Glass, your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Good night from Yogi's.